Reading Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 16. Chapter 30, verses 15 through 16. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest possesses.
Thank you, Dion. Good morning. Again, it is truly a delight to see everyone today. Very thankful for the presence of all, and especially our visitors. You are always our honored guests. Today, we're going to spend a little time considering the fact that we all have many, many choices. Many choices to make every day. I was thinking about Brother Bruce remembered in prayer this morning, Brother Bob Brown, who's taken to the emergency room there at Rockdale. When I spoke with his wife this morning, she said, "Jeff, there's one thing that we love every week. We love going to worship. And we had our clothes laid out last night, everything ready to go today, and then this happened." Well, and I can understand that, but I was listening for all of the choices that she told me that she had made. First of all, when we like something, generally we choose it. Amen? Amen. Now, they wanted to be here bad enough that they had put their clothes out last night to be ready to come this morning. I wonder how many of us did that. I don't know if you're like you, but in my house, a lot of the times, it's like, what are we wearing? Where do we go? What is this stuff? But all of those choices are made because we give something some value and give something some thought. And as we read here, Moses is encouraging throughout this passage, all the way down through verse 20, encouraging the children of Israel, if they will, to be those who would choose life. Fact is, we have really only a couple of choices in this life. We choose those things that are going to better us. That would be choosing life. And then we choose those things that are going to be self-destructive and are going to send us into death, whether it be in this life and in the next. So with that in mind today, I encourage you to think on these things with the idea that we need to choose life. And that sometimes choosing life is not the easiest thing to do. I read about a newlywed couple. They were coming, they had a big church wedding, you know, just beautiful kind of thing. And as they were going out the door, headed towards a long limousine, all prepared, doors open. You know, people throwing bird seeds, you know, and blowing bubbles and all these kind of things. Oh, just a beautiful sight. And they're making their way to the limousine, and they're just kind of running between the people that are standing alongside. Just a beautiful thing. And then all of a sudden, she bolts and she runs to get in another car. And she gets in a car, and she's beginning to drive away. And her husband said, "Well, what are you doing? Are you a runaway bride?" And she said, "Oh, no. But It was a great wedding, and it was great to see you, and I'll see you tomorrow sometime. I had some other things planned for tonight." Now, you and I look at things like that, and we say, "Now, that sounds like something on reality TV," right? Which is one of those words I don't understand, or a phrase I don't understand. Reality TV doesn't work for me. Maybe the reality of watching a live ball game or something, but reality TV, I don't know. But the truth of the matter is, either you're husband and wife or you're not, correct? Either you're committed to a relationship or you're not. Either you're committed to being a child of God or you're not. It is really that simple. Now, we complicate it with all kinds of excuses and all kinds of things, and we can write great big books full of stuff. But the bottom line is, either we're committed to being God's child or we're not. And when we're not, we place ourselves at enmity with God. Now, that's a sobering thought, to be at enmity with God. You see, that's one of the challenges that we have when we had this ability to make choice. God blessed us with that, and it is a great blessing, by the way. We have the blessing to choose, but it also presents for itself challenges. And I think about when Paul was writing to the church at Rome. And there we read in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, "So then," or "consequently, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." When I look at that in the Greek text, there is a very important word there that is missed in just about every English translation. You see, here's the way it actually reads. Now, I've got this in the Greek words translated to English. It will say, "consequently," or "so then the word "the," then the word "faith" or "belief," then the word "out," then the word "of hearing" or "of tidings," again the word "the," another word "yet," then the word "hearing" or "tidings" again, then the word "through," then the word "declaration" or "preaching," and then the word that means "of God." So here's how this would read in English. "Consequently," or "so then," the faith. Did you get what I said there? Consequently, not just any faith, not just my belief system, because you know what I believe? I believe cats are an annoyance. I do. But you know what? I live with people who don't agree with me. So guess what I have in my house? Now, you may agree with me or not agree with me, but that's okay, because we're not talking about things regarding God. When we're talking about things regarding God, we're seeing that consequently, the faith comes by what? By hearing of the word or declaration of God's word. That means there's a singularity to that. That means there's a oneness to the faith. That means that there's something that we need to grab a hold of, because I think that we dilute this word faith and belief to just cover a great number of ideas. We're not talking about a great number of ideas. We're talking about the faith. If we're going to choose life eternal, we need to choose the faith, not a faith. The faith. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," in John chapter 14, verse 6. He is the way, the truth, and the life, not one of many. Why is that important? Well, you see, when we choose things that are going to point us toward life, we're going to choose one way. But there are many ways we can kill ourselves. We can kill ourselves spiritually in a host of ways. The devil will even take good things and turn them into something that will distract us from God, to draw us away from the faith. That's why it's important that we consider what Moses was trying to get across to the children of Israel. Choose life. Choose the faith. The way. When we look at what Jesus has to tell us, we understand that He is one, the way, the faith. But too many times we want to go a different way. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was headed over to Alabama, and I was going to show Dad another way that I was going to go to his hometown. Now, think about this. For what did I just say? I was going to show my dad another way to get to his hometown. And I was going down the interstate, and he said, "Well, son, I think we ought to get off right there." And I glanced down at the GPS. I wasn't listening to her because I was talking too much. I hope he turns his hearing aid down. But I didn't listen to her and see to get off. And we just kept going. And we went down. We went way too far before we got off the interstate. I missed the turns because I was going to try to go another way. When we try to go another way, we're going to find ourselves lost. Now, conveniently on my phone, when I decided to listen to it, she guided me back to the way. Now, here's what I'm getting at. When we find ourselves lost and distanced from God, the way that we get back is by listening to His Word and allowing Him to guide us there. Too many times, though, we want to cloud the issue. We want to add things to God's Word. And when it comes to salvation, we want to take things away. We want to do things our way. And then we stand back and wonder, how did we get this far off? But we need to pay attention and allow ourselves to be drawn back. Because God was plain in His Word. There we read at Revelation chapter 22, I testify unto every man that hears the words of this prophecy, that if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written therein. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound fun. So why would I want to add things to God's Word just to appease myself? Sometimes people will say, well, God didn't say we can't do that. If you think the new healthcare program is thick, if God had to write down every single thing we were not supposed to do, we could never get through the pages of it. He tells us, though, a lot about what we need to do. And He gives us many principles by which we can reason the other things away and not be a problem. So why would we want to add to His Word? But sometimes we want to please ourselves. And then we continue to read as well that if any man shall take away from the words of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. And out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. So the question for us this morning is this. Would we dare to choose faith and life? Because you see, there are really only two classes to choose from. And we find ourselves as people being only one of two, by the way. When we look at this entire world, we only see two kinds of people. And these only two things really are all that matter when this life comes to an end. You see, it doesn't matter whether someone is rich or poor, because in God's sight, every soul is more valuable than all the earth. It doesn't matter whether someone is white or black or yellow or red. It doesn't matter. For you see, we all are of one blood. You see, we need not look on the outward appearance of others and allow those things to affect our choosing. For God looks on the heart. We look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, and there is, as the reminder was coming, that the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance, talking about David, look on neither his height nor his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord has seen not as man sees, for man looks not on the outward, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. The Lord looks on the heart. Those things are most important. And then we read in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 49. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. So we either be of one of two of these groups. Either we're walking in the light and are those who are righteous, or those who are unrighteous. It is that simple. It is that simple. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying that all power and all authority was given to him. We read there in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Here is Jesus with all power and all authority. He is the way. Some call on his name and they choose him not even still. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he made this statement in chapter 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. God will allow those who do not have a desire to believe in him to do that. I don't know about you, but it distresses me sometimes, that very idea. But because we're blessed with choice, there are those who can choose not to follow after God. And then, and in the same light, there are those who can call on his name. And we see there in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, and God said, Jesus said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" There are those who would call on him and still haven't chosen him. How could that be? Because even as a Christian, the power of choice is not removed from us. We can wander off into false doctrines. We can falsely manipulate God's word. By the way, the devil knows God's word better than we do. And the devil will take his word and twist it to try to draw our attention and draw us away from him. The devil will take human reasoning. He will take emotion. And he will pour them in the pot and stir things up to cause us to choose a way other than God's way. Because you see, he, my friend, is a liar and the best one there ever was. In John chapter 8, we read there that Jesus said, "You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. And he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of them." The devil is the master of creating counterfeit religion. He has done so much damage to humanity creating counterfeit religion. People leave God's word and they go into their own doctrines, they go into their own thought, they go into those own things, and we find ourselves leaving God behind. And I don't know about you, but I have opinions as well, and I know this. That if God had left it up to me, I would have messed it up. We can put our trust in him because he created it all. He, ruler of the universe, knows all. And we can trust him because he won't mess it up. Why is that? Because he loves us. And his desire is for us to choose him. Not for us to choose our own way and to add things to the word that he has given us, or to take those things away. Because some people would say this more very morning, there are people who would stand before filled buildings and will say this: all you have to do is believe in God. That's what they'll say. And if that's the truth, then explain to me James chapter 2 and verse 19. The demons believe and tremble. So is that all that there is? No. That's the reason why in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 we read that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We need to know who he is, and we can only know that by getting into his word. Now we know that belief is foundational to our obedience to God. John chapter 3 and verse 16 tells us that. And again, John 8 and 24, we find those things there being the case. So the faith is fundamental to our obedience to him. But that's not where he left us. We read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, and again in Acts 8, 37, and then in 17, 30, that we need to be those who repent. And that means to make a change, a real change. I'm not talking about just the kind of change that will keep you out of jail in this society. I'm talking about real change, a change in the heart. A change in the desire to serve God and to put him first above all. And to put those ungodly things away and quit playing with fire. Because when we play with fire, we're going to get burned. And I'm concerned that too many of us have looked toward God and done many of these things that he would have us to do, and yet really never changed within our hearts. I'll do what God asked me to do as long as I like those parts. The devil is the master of counterfeit religion. Leading us away. Oh, you're a good person. You're wonderful. So what do you need to change? Well, I need to make God my top priority. But you've got to earn a living. Why, sure we do. But no matter what I earn in this life, it's not going to carry me into eternity, and it's not going to open the gates of heaven for me. I need to make God my top priority. That means it's going to have to be some change in my life. That means it's going to have to be constant change, because I'm going to have to be constantly reminded to put God on top, to put Him first in my life. That's why I need my brothers and sisters. But without repentance, Jesus said, I'm going to lose my soul. And Jesus tells us, as we read in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, that we need to be those who are willing to openly confess Him before others. Confess that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then we read in Mark chapter 16 as well, and as we see in Acts 2:38, that we need to be baptized in order to be saved, because it is there we come in contact with the blood of Christ. It is there in which we find salvation. Jesus made these things clear to us. And since He is the way, we have an obligation to follow Him in that pathway. But it takes courage to make those choices, doesn't it? It really does, because that means there's going to be some change in our lives. But we make a lot of choices, and some really don't matter. This morning, we all chose many things, you know, what to have for breakfast, what clothes we were going to wear, you know, all these kinds of things. But the choice that we made to come to worship before our Almighty God is one that has eternal consequences. What a wonderful thing it is as God's people to come together to be His. You know, there were many this morning who did claim to be of God in one way or another. And again, Jesus would say, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? There was a young lady who was invited to go on a trip with another family. And this family was going to be gone on Sunday at worship time. And as much as she wanted to go on the trip, she said, if I can't go to worship on Sunday, I'm not going to go. Now this morning, I'm afraid that too many of us would have said, well, now just one service wouldn't hurt you. And I've heard it before, one time won't send you to hell. And you know what? You're right. It's the attitude. It's the attitude that separates us from God for one time. That's what causes the problem. That's a heart that hasn't really repented, not really changed to put God first yet. So with these things in mind this morning, we have some choices to make. Have I done everything that God has asked me to do in order to be His child? All things are ready. And having done those things, though, could it be that somewhere down the line, I just didn't choose to truly repent? Or maybe I wandered back away from God for a host of reasons. That can be a number of things, and we can blame it on people. But the fact of the matter is, we are accountable to God ourselves. So, as we sing the invitation song this morning, I ask you to consider this. This day is beautiful, but it compares nothing to heaven. And where will you be when you stand before God? Will you choose to be His right now as together we stand and sing?